Tonight on Sleep with Rockstars, we will sleep with The Clash. Welcome to Sleep with Rockstars, the Gen X sleep podcast. Because you deserve a good night's sleep, or whatever. I'm Sloane Spencer. In each Sleep with Rockstars sleep podcast, I will read from Wikipedia about your favorite Gen X musicians and bands. If this podcast helps you relax and fall asleep, please leave a 5-star rating and a kind review in your favorite podcast app. You may find that the more you listen, the more your mind will begin to associate these stories with sleep. So feel free to return to each episode again and again. Repetition can help create a signal to your brain that it's time to rest. And if the musical act isn't your favorite, that's perfectly okay. You don't need to pay close attention. Instead, let the words flow over you. Let their rhythm and softness lull you. Not for interest, but for sleep. You are not here to be entertained. You're here to let go. Now let your breath guide you deeper into stillness. Take a moment to settle in. Gently close your eyes and let your body begin to rest. There's nowhere you need to be, nothing you need to do. This is your time. A time to let go of the day, unwind, and allow your mind to slow down. With each breath in, invite calm. With each breath out, release the tension. As your body begins to soften into the surface beneath you, imagine a gentle wave of warmth from the crown of your head to the tips of your toes, carrying away the weight of the day.
Collaborations, reunions, and Strummer's Death, 1986 through present. After his dismissal, Jones formed Big Audio Dynamite, who released their debut album, This Is Big Audio Dynamite, late in 1985. Jones and Strummer worked together on their respective 1986 projects. Jones helped with the 2 songs Strummer wrote and performed for the soundtrack to the film Sid and Nancy, 1986, and Strummer co-wrote a number of the tracks for the second BAD album, Number 10, Upping Street, which he also co-produced. With Jones committed to BAD, Strummer moved on to solo projects and screen acting. Simonon formed a band called Havana 3AM. Hedden recorded a solo album, Waking Up, but was imprisoned in 1987 for drug-related offenses. In 1988, the compilation album, The Story of The Clash, Volume 1, was released, and the single, I Fought the Law, was reissued and reached number 29 in the UK singles chart. On 2 March 1991, a reissue of Should I Stay or Should I Go gave The Clash their first and only number 1 UK single. That same year, Rock the Casbah featured on a broadcast of Armed Forces Radio during the Gulf War. In 1999, Strummer, Jones, and Simonon cooperated in compiling the live album From Here to Eternity and the video documentary Westway to the World. On 7 November 2002, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced The Clash would be inducted the following March. On 15 November, Jones and Strummer shared the stage, performing 3 Clash songs during a London benefit show by Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros. Strummer, Jones, and Hedden wanted to play a reunion show to coincide with their induction into the Hall of Fame. Simonon did not want to participate because he believed playing at the high-priced event would not have been in the spirit of The Clash. On 22 December 2002, Strummer died from a congenital heart defect, ending any possibility of a full reunion. In March 2003, Strummer, Jones, Simonon, Chimes, and Hedden were inducted into the Hall of Fame. In early 2008, Carbon Silicon, a new band founded by Mick Jones and his former Lennon SS bandmate Tony James, entered into a six-week residency at London's Inn on the Green. On opening night, 11 January, Hedden joined the band for The Clash's song, Train in Vain. An encore followed, with Hedden playing drums on Should I Stay or Should I Go? This was the first time since 1982 that Hedden and Jones had performed together on stage. In September 2009, Jones and Hedden reunited to re-record the 1970s Clash B-side, Jail Guitar Doors, with Billy Bragg, who founded an eponymous charity that gives musical instruments and lessons to prison inmates. Simonon and Jones are featured on the title track of the Gorillaz album Plastic Beach, 2010, marking the first time they had worked together in over 20 years. They later joined Gorillaz on their Escape to Plastic Beach tour for the remainder of 2010. In July 2012, Strummer's daughters Jazz and Lola gave a rare interview to discuss the 10th anniversary of Strummer's death, his legacy, and the possibility of a Clash reunion had their father lived. Jazz said, "There was talk about the Clash reforming before he died, but there had been talk for years and years about them reforming. They had been offered stupid amounts of money to do it, but they were very good at keeping the moral high ground and saying no. But I think if Dad hadn't died, it would have happened. It felt like it was in the air." In the UK on 9 September 2013 and a day later in the US, The Clash released a 12-disc box set called Sound System, which includes their remastered studio albums on 8 discs and 3 discs featuring demos, non-album singles, rarities, and B-sides. A DVD with previously unseen footage by Don Letts and Julian Temple, and other film footage, and merchandising ephemera, including an exclusive The Clash poster. Mick Jones and Paul Simonon oversaw the project, including the remasters. The box set was accompanied by 5-album studio set, which contains the first 5 studio albums, excluding Cut the Crap, and The Clash Hits Back, a 33-track, 2-CD best of collection. In a 3 September 2013 interview with Rolling Stone, Mick Jones discussed the band reuniting, saying it likely would not have occurred. Jones said, "There were a few moments at the time I was up for it. Hall of Fame reunion in 2003. Joe was up for it. Paul wasn't. And neither, probably, was Topper, who didn't wind up even coming in the end. It didn't look like a performance was going to happen anyway. I mean, you usually play at that ceremony when you get in. Joe had passed by that point, so we didn't. We were never in agreement. It was never at a point where all of us wanted to do it at the same time. Most importantly for us, we became friends again after the group broke up and continued that way for the rest of the time. That was more important to us than the band." Jones also stated that the Sound System box set was the last time he would be involved in the band's releases. "I'm not even thinking about any more Clash releases. This is it for me, and I say that with an exclamation mark." On 6 September 2013, Mick Jones, Paul Simonon, and Topper Hedden reunited for an exclusive BBC Radio 6 music show to promote their legacy and the release of Sound System. In an October 2013 interview with BBC Six Music, Jones said Strummer did have intentions of a Clash reunion, and that new music was being written for a possible album. In the months before Strummer's death, Jones and Strummer began working on new music for what he thought would be the next Mescaleros album. Jones said, "We wrote a batch. We didn't used to write one. We used to write a batch at a time, like gumbo." The idea was he was going to go into the studio with the Mescaleros during the day and then send them all home. I'd come in at night, and we'd work all night. According to Jones, months after their work together, he ran into Strummer at an event. Strummer informed him the songs were going to be used for the next Clash album. On 6 April 2022, the Clash announced the re-release of Combat Rock, including demos with Ranking Rogers vocals titled Combat Rock, The People's Hall. Rock the Casbah, Ranking Roger, and Red Angel Dragnet, Ranking Roger, were released as supporting singles. The re-release occurred on 20 May 2022 to mixed reviews. On 11 November 2022, a month before the 20th anniversary of Strummer's death, founding member Keith Levine died in Norfolk, England. Politics. The Clash's music often expresses left-wing ideological sentiments. Strummer was a committed socialist. The Clash are credited with pioneering the advocacy of radical politics in punk rock. NME dubbed them thinking man's yobs. Like many early punk bands, the Clash protested against monarchy and aristocracy, but unlike many of their peers, they rejected nihilism. Instead, they found solidarity with a number of liberation movements and were often involved with groups such as the Anti-Nazi League. At their performance on 30 April 1978 at the Rock Against Racism concert in London's Victoria Park, for a crowd between 50,000 and 100,000 people, Strummer wore a t-shirt identifying two far-left armed militant groups, Italy's Red Brigades, the Brigati Rossi, misspelled as Brigade Rossi on the t-shirt, and West Germany's Red Army faction. According to rock historian Michael Gilmore, the moment that best exemplifies the Clash took place in August 1977 at a music festival in Liège, Belgium. The band was playing before 20,000 people and had been under fire from a crowd that was throwing bottles at the stage. But that wasn't what bothered lead singer Joe Strummer. What enraged him was a 10-foot-high barbed wire fence strung between concrete posts and forming a barrier between the group and the audience. He jumped from the stage and attacked the fence, trying to pull it down. The Clash were the only performers at the show who tried to do anything about the obstacle. They were more willing to run the risk of the crowd than to tolerate barbed wire that was meant to fend off that crowd. This is more or less what the Clash were about, fighting the good fight that few others would fight. The band made their politics explicit in the lyrics of early recordings, including White Riot, which encourages disaffected white youths to riot like their black counterparts. Career Opportunities, which addressed the alienation of low-paid, routine jobs and discontent over the lack of alternatives. And London's Burning is about the bleakness and boredom of life in the inner city. Artist Caroline Coon, who is associated with the punk scene, said, "Those tough, militaristic songs were what we needed as we went into Thatcherism." The title of Sandinista refers to the Sandinista National Liberation Front, a group of left-wing rebels who had recently overthrown Nicaraguan President Anastasio Somoza Debayle. The album includes songs that were inspired by other political issues. Washington Bullets addresses covert military operations around the globe. And The Call-Up is a meditation on U.S. draft policies. Scholars Simon Reynolds and Joy Press describe Combat Rock's track, Straight to Hell, as an around the world at war in five verses guided tour of hell zones where boy soldiers had languished. The band's political sentiments are reflected in their resistance to the music industry's profit motivations. Even at their peak, tickets to shows, and souvenirs were reasonably priced. The group insisted CBS sell their double and triple albums London Calling and Sandinista for the price of a single album, then £5, succeeding with the former and compromising with the latter by agreeing to sell it for £5.99 and forfeit their performance royalties on the first 200,000 sales. These value-for-money principles meant they were constantly in debt to CBS and only started to break even around 1982. Musical style and influences. The Clash are mainly described as a punk rock band. According to Stephen Thomas Erlewine of AllMusic, Sex Pistols may have been the first British punk rock band, but the Clash were the definitive British punk rockers. Later in their career, the Clash used elements of a variety of musical genres, including reggae, rockabilly, dub, and R&B. With their double album London Calling, the band expanded the breadth of their musical styles. Consequently, the band's music has been described as experimental rock and new wave. Since their beginnings, the band has covered and composed songs in the reggae genre and incorporated lovers rock into London Calling. Legacy and influence. In 2004, Rolling Stone ranked The Clash number 28 on its list of the 100 greatest artists of all time. And in 2010, the band was ranked 22 on VH1's 100 greatest artists of all time. According to The Times, The Clash's debut, alongside Nevermind the Bollocks, Here's the Sex Pistols, is punk's definitive statement, and London Calling remains one of the most influential rock albums. London Calling was ranked 8th in Rolling Stone's 2003 list of the 500 greatest albums of all time, which is the highest entry by a punk band. In the same list, The Clash was ranked 77th and Sandinista was ranked 404th. In the magazine's 2004 list of the 500 greatest songs of all time, London Calling was ranked number 15. Again, the highest entry for any song by a punk band. Four other Clash songs made the list. Should I Stay or Should I Go? 228. Train in Vain? 292. Complete Control? 361. And White Man in Hammersmith Palais? 430. London Calling ranked number 48 in the magazine's 2008 list of the 100 greatest guitar songs of all time. In 2010, the cover art of London Calling was one of 10 albums by British music acts whose albums were commemorated on a UK postage stamp issued by Royal Mail. Jake Burns of Stiff Little Fingers, the first major punk band from Northern Ireland, said of their debut album's impact, "The big watershed was the Clash album. That was go out, cut your hair, stop mucking about time, you know. Up to that point, we'd still been singing about bowling down California highways. I mean, it meant nothing to me. Although the Damned and the Pistols were great, they were only exciting musically. Lyrically, I couldn't really make a lot out of it. To realize that the Clash were actually singing about their own lives in West London was like a bolt out of the blue." The Clash inspired many musicians who were only loosely associated, if at all, with punk. The band's embrace of ska and reggae and England's Jamaican subculture helped provide impetus for the two-tone movement that emerged after the punk explosion. Other musicians who began performing while the Clash were active and acknowledged their debt to the band include Billy Bragg and Aztec Camera. U2's The Edge has compared the Clash's inspirational effect to that of the Ramones, both of which gave young rock musicians a sense that the door of possibility had swung open. He wrote, "The Clash, more than any other group, kick-started 1,000 garage bands across Ireland and the UK. Seeing them perform was a life-changing experience." Bono described The Clash as the greatest rock band. They wrote the rule book for U2. While Sex Pistols' debut gig at Manchester's Lesser Free Trade Hall has been acknowledged as the starting point of that city's punk scene, The Clash's first performance at Eric's, where they were supported by The Specials, had a similar effect in Liverpool. The gig was witnessed by Jane Casey, Julian Cope, Pete Wally, Pete Burns, Bill Drummond, Holly Johnson, Will Sargent, Budgie, and Ian McCullough. John Langford of the Mekons said, "You can't overestimate how important the Clash were back in 1977. We loved the Pistols' self-aware nihilism, but we didn't want to be the Pistols. And if the Clash were cartoon heroic and occasionally a bit silly, we still loved them and recognized the risks they were taking." The Clash's influence can be heard in the works of American political punk bands such as The Offspring, Rancid, Anti-Flag, Bad Religion, NoFX, Green Day, and Rise Against, and in the political hard rock of early Manic Street Preachers. California band Rancid were known as incurable Clash zealots. The title track of Rancid's album, Indestructible, says, "I'll keep listening to that great Joe Strummer." Outside rock music, Chuck D has credited The Clash as an inspiration for Public Enemy, in particular for their use of socially and politically conscious lyrics, which gained them attention from the music press. They talked about important subjects, so therefore journalists printed what they said, which was very pointed. We took that from The Clash, because we were very similar in that regard. Public Enemy just did it 10 years later. In 2019, Chuck D narrated Stay Free, The Story of The Clash, an 8-part podcast series produced by Spotify and BBC Studios. According to biographer Antonio Ambrosio, The Clash's involvement with Jamaican musical and production styles inspired similar cross-cultural efforts by bands such as Bad Brains, Massive Attack, 311, Sublime, and No Doubt. Jacob Dylan of the Wallflowers lists London Calling as the record that changed his life. Bands identified with the garage rock revival of the late 1990s and 2000s, such as Sweden's The Hives, Australia's The Vines, Britain's The Libertines, and America's The White Stripes and The Strokes, show The Clash's influence. Among the many late 20th century British acts identified as having been inspired by The Clash are Baby Shambles, The Future Heads, The Charlatans, and Arctic Monkeys. Use in film and television. The band's 1982 hit, Should I Stay or Should I Go, appears in multiple episodes of the 2016 Netflix science fiction drama series Stranger Things, which is set in 1983. London Town, a film that tells the story of a Clash-obsessed teenager who in 1979 meets Joe Strummer by chance and finds his life changing as a result, was released in 2016. Notable covers of The Clash songs. Before MIA had an international hit in 2008 with Paper Planes, which is built around a sample from Straight to Hell, she referenced London Calling on 2003's Galang. A cover of The Guns of Brixton by German punk band Die Toten Hosen was released as a single in 2006. A version by reggae singer Jimmy Cliff with Tim Armstrong from Rancid was scheduled for release in November 2011. American-Irish punk band Dropkick Murphys released a cover of The Guns of Brixton on Anti-Heroes vs. Dropkick Murphys, 1997. In June 2009, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band opened their concert in Hyde Park, London, with London Calling. The concert was later released on DVD as London Calling, Live in Hyde Park. Bruce Springsteen, Little Steven, Dave Grohl, and Elvis Costello performed the same song at the 2003 Grammys as a tribute to Joe Strummer, who died the year before. In 2009, Springsteen and the E Street Band covered Strummer's song, Coma Girl. And in 2014, along with Tom Morello, they opened some of their shows on the High Hopes tour with Clamp Down. Ben Folds covered The Clash's Lost in the Supermarket for the soundtrack to the 2006 animated film, Over the Hedge. The band has also had a notable impact on music in the Spanish-speaking world. In 1997, a Clash tribute album featuring performances by Buenos Aires punk bands was released. Many rock on Español bands such as Todos Tus Muertos, Café Tacuba, Maldita Vecindad, Los Prisioneros, Tijuana No, Ataque 77 are indebted to The Clash. Argentina's Los Fabulosos Cadillacs covered Should I Stay or Should I Go, Lennon Collings' Revolution Rock, and The Guns of Brixton, and invited Mick Jones to sing on their song, Mal Bicho. The Clash's influence is similarly reflected in Paris-founded band Mano Negra's politicized lyrics and fusion of musical styles. In March 2022, following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, surviving members of The Clash gave permission to Ukrainian punk band Beton to rewrite the lyrics of London Calling. The song was mixed in Los Angeles by music producer Danny Saber, and proceeds from its sale were designed to help fund war efforts. Band members. Classic lineup, 1977 through 1982. Joe Strummer, lead and backing vocals, rhythm guitar, 1976 through 1986, died 2002. Mick Jones, lead guitar, lead and backing vocals, 1976 through 1983. Paul Simonon, bass guitar, backing, and lead vocals, 1976 through 1986. Nikki Topper Hedden, drums, percussion, 1977 through 1982. Discography. The Clash, 1977. Give 'em Enough Rope, 1978. London Calling, 1979. Sandinista, 1980. Combat Rock, 1982. Cut the Crap, 1985. You can also see The Clash's album era, The Clash on Film, and John Richards, a KEXP radio personality, created International Clash Day on 7 February 2013. This portion was recorded September 8, 2025, from the Wikipedia entry on the band The Clash, which can be found at en.wikipedia.org/wiki/the_clash.